This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camellia.
I'm T. Xiao Yi.
And I'm Sharmila Ganesan.
This hour,
well, we're looking at Shukor Khamis, a teenager from Terengganu, who has become a media sensation after a picture of him won the Asian Geographic Images of Asia 2018 award. As local and international media descend on Shukor's kampung in Terengganu, we explore the issue of children's right to privacy.
And Burberry became the latest fashion brand to come under fire for releasing a Lunar New Year ad campaign that is said to miss the mark culturally.
And finally, we talk about the ongoing trend of male screen actors having buff gym bodies, even if they are playing everyday characters, because this is creating concerns about body image issues among both aspiring actors and their audiences, according to an article in The Guardian. We talk about how the prevalence of the bulked up gym body in the media affects men's perceptions of themselves.
So on this theme of image and identity, we're asking you on Twitter, what do you do when you come across viral images on social media? Do you verify first? Do you share immediately? Or do you never share them? To join the conversation, you can vote on this poll, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
We'll get to that first story after Picture This by Blondie.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Blondie with Picture This. Now, picture this, a boy and his buffaloes frolicking in the fields. That's been making its rounds on social media. If you are on social media, you can join the conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us with your thoughts at 018-789-8899, because we're talking about the story of that boy.
Yep, Shukor Khamis, a teenager from Terengganu who became a media sensation recently after a picture of him won the Asian Geographic Images of Asia 2018 award. So this photo was taken by KL-based photographer Muhammad Nazri Sulaiman, and it showed 14-year-old Shukor playing with the buffaloes on his father's farm in Kampung Kubang, Bujok, Terengganu. He's been nicknamed Kampung Boy, the Buffalo Whisperer, and Malaysia's Mowgli, among others.
But Shukor's fame is not actually new, because since the late 2014 or 2015, photographers have actually been flocking to his home, drawn by his bond with the animals, the goats, the cows, geese, chickens. And one other photographer who has been featuring Shukor is Terengganu-based photographer Dalah Dean. Dalah's photos, along with contributions from several other photographers, are showcased in a Facebook page that is dedicated to Shukor.
Now, admittedly, if you look at these photos, they're really beautifully taken. They show what appears to be an idyllic childhood for this happy boy. He's growing up with the animals on his father's farm. The thing is, though, one thing that made me stop and really think more about the issue was when I was watching one of the news videos of this story, and it shows a really telling scene. You know, when the camera zoomed out, it showed there were at least 8 to 10 photographers clustered around the kandang kerbau, and all these photographers were like paparazzi taking pictures of Shukor, you know, playing with the buffaloes, posing with them, jumping around with them and all that. So that really made me question what exactly is the intention of the photographer here. And, you know, coupled with the fact that this Facebook page you mentioned, Sharmila, has recorded a massive bump in likes to, when I checked this morning, 116,000 likes. You know, so if you zoom out from the issue just a little, you start to see the potential pitfalls of this kind of fame for a child. I don't know. I wanted to ask you, you know, how do you feel about all this media descending on Shukor?
You know, I must admit, the pictures in themselves have only been shared with very positive comments online,
yes,
right? And so my initial exposure to this was that. But that particular video that you talked about, where you suddenly see that macro view of how many people have been, I suppose, making a spectacle out of this boy's real life, it really reminds me of that kind of, almost that tourism where, you know, you go to places like Vietnam or Laos and photograph children in the villages, you know, and then you share them on social media. Like, it makes me question the intention of those images.
Yeah.
And the boy, as well as these kids that you're talking about, Sharmila, they don't know any better. They don't know that you know, they're probably being exploited for you know, someone else's instant fame as well.
That's right, yeah. Because that, you know, it's how it's being shared on social media that could then be problematic. Sure, the photographer in question, Nazrin, probably got consent from the boy and his parents to take that photo. But what happens, you know, when the photo goes beyond Nazrin's hands, you know, and how are people sharing it? How are people consuming it? That's what I found very troubling. Mm-hmm. So we speak to Laurent Duvier, Chief of Communications from UNICEF Malaysia, to find out more about children's right to privacy in this kind of instance. Laurent, what are the risks inherent in taking and sharing of children's pictures?
At UNICEF, we recognize that the media play a fundamental role in portraying and depicting the reality of the children, their needs, their hope, their concern. But it's a very difficult job. It needs to be done accurately, ethically, respectfully. When doing this wrong, it could possibly expose the child to unnecessary risk, harm, exploitation, and even over-publicity. It could have lasting, devastating consequences for the child. And that's the reason why UNICEF promotes international photo and reporting guidelines that always protect the child, keeping in mind the best interest of the child, not only when taking photos, but also when using them.
So what should photographers be mindful of when they're taking pictures of children?
And that requires the photographers to ask themselves a couple of ethical questions when taking and using photos. For example, is it in the best interest of the child to reveal his name or her name, to reveal the identity, to disclose the exact location of his or her home? Could those level of details possibly expose the child to over publicity in the media? Would that be beneficial to his or her well-being?
And, you know, I was wondering about consent as well. What about issues of consent when photographers take pictures of children?
It's very critical that also the consent is obtained, not just from the child and from the parents in a written way, but an informed consent. That means not just the permission to take the photo, but that requires the photographer to take time to discuss with the parents and the child so that they are aware and they feel comfortable about the possible use of the photos and the dissemination. When meeting those ethical guidelines, then the reporters and the photographers can really play an active role in shaping the way we look at children and promoting their well-being.
That was Laurent Duvillier, Chief of Communications of UNICEF Malaysia, sharing his thoughts on respecting children's privacy and their best interests when portraying them in photography and the media. It's important to keep these principles in mind because, according to Shukor's father, more than 100 local and international photographers have visited the farm to take pictures of him since, you know, he's gone viral. Since that first picture, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. More than 100. That's a lot.
Mm. And how accurate are these photos? How accurately have these photographers portrayed Shukor's life and realities? And as Laurent cautioned, are Shukor and his family fully aware of the implications of having his photos shared widely on social media? Because, you know, in the age of the internet and social media, it's not just about that one photo. Mm-hmm. And even a couple of decades ago, something being published in a magazine doesn't necessarily have that kind of shareability or exposure. Mm-hmm. And now those pictures are online forever.
Yes.
And they're accessible and people can manipulate them however they choose, use them in whatever context, right? And so informed consent to me is actually a very interesting subject in this matter, because do those, you know, does the boy, do his parents fully understand what it means to have hundreds of people sharing his images online?
I really don't want to take away from, you know, the skill and possibly the very good intentions of the photographer, let's say Nazrin, who took the award-winning one. I'm sure he just wanted to show this happy boy playing in his farm. But, you know, as a mother, I think I have this level of paranoia about images of children, you know, going beyond the hands of those who should own them and how they could be used. And even if we're not talking about the sort of the seedy side of things, even the idea of how the media are using these images to frame their own stories or their own conception of whatever the subject is.
Mm. Yeah, and as Laurent was saying earlier about exposing location, obviously all the photographers know where he lives or where his father's farm is at least. But even images, you can look up their metadata and get a lot of information out of that, and you can locate a person's place of their home. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have bad intentions, that's a lot of information to have.
Mm. And I think to a certain extent, this also plays into a lot of those narratives. As we were saying earlier about how we tend to project our own ideas onto this boy's life, right? I know that the way the photos were being shared online, a lot of the captions were, look at this innocent, fun life that he has and how great it is that a kid is raised without devices. You know, this kind of narrative. But at the end of the day, I wonder whether that kind of oversimplifies and turns him into this kind of trope. And I think that's also complicated because, and often when we exoticize or take these images of cultures or communities that we're not a part of, and we just get that one image, to me it doesn't strike me as being quite representative.
And then of course you also have photographers who may or the media who may perpetuate stereotypes about communities. Last year the World Press photo was criticized for posting on its Instagram account pictures by an Italian photographer, Alessio Mamo. He took pictures of children from low-income communities in India in front of a table of fake food.
Yeah.
So what he actually did was he put the food there and then what he told them at first was to dream about some food that they would like to find on their table. And then he tries to depict that. And, you know, the children were shown covering their faces. So there are all these negative undertones of shame. I really feel it strips them of their dignity and, you know, underlines how little control they have over their circumstances.
Mm. There have always been these complicated questions of photographing people's lives, right? The position of privilege that the photographer comes from, the viewer and how they perceive these photos. And I think this story of Shukur actually does play into all of that. And to me, what's interesting is that we live in Malaysia and we're not that far away from him. Mm-hmm. And yet we do live in very different realities.
Absolutely. And what's worrying, I think, is the Sinaharian report that said that the Terengganu state government is considering making his village a tourist attraction.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. And I think that sort of maybe like what you said earlier about the tourism, that type of tourism, slum tourism, I think you call it, or poverty tourism, where you turn the lens on a particular sort of underprivileged or marginalized community and you bring people to gawk at them. I'm very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it, and I'm uncomfortable with what it means for this boy who up till now his regular life is now being turned into sort of a spectacle.
Well, you know, recently Shukur, you know, he's in Form 2 now. He won the Most Outstanding Student Award for the Kuala Terengganu District. So good on him.
Good for him.
You know, as a kid, he's probably enjoying his, you know, fame and the recognition of his schoolwork and achievements. So I feel he deserves a happy childhood, and it's really up to us in the media to respect that.
Absolutely. I think the respect is really important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us what you think on our Twitter poll. What do you do when you come across viral images on social media? Do you verify first? Do you share immediately? Or do you just choose not to share at all? You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Later in the hour, what's leading men to buff up? But before that, a Chinese New Year fashion campaign that didn't feel quite right. That's after just one look by the Hollies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.